The New Testament says, Jesus spoke Aramaic. We have seen already that encyclopedias say Jesus spoke Aramaic. And we have seen that Josephus, the foremost historian living at the time of Jesus and the preaching of his disciples, also says that Jesus spoke Aramaic. Let us now examine the New Testament itself. If we read the New Testament carefully, we will see that it actually tells us that it is translating or interpreting from an Aramaic original. Consider the number of times, for example, that the phrase which being interpreted or which being translated is used in the New Testament. Matthew 1 verse 23, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Mark 5 verse 41, And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Mark chapter 15, verse 22. And he bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is, being interpreted, the place of a skull. Matthew 15, verse 34. And at the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is, being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? John 1, verse 38. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? John 1, verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. John chapter 1, verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is, by interpretation, a stone. John 9, verse 7. And said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is, by interpretation, sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came, seeing. Acts chapter 4, verse 36. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is, being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus. Acts 9, verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Acts 13, verse 8. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. In Matthew 1, verse 23, the name Emmanuel is a Hebrew word, and it therefore has to be interpreted, or translated, because it means God with us. But in the other cases from the above list, we have an Aramaic word or phrase which has to be interpreted or translated into Greek. In other words, the Greek New Testament is actually telling us that it was translated from an Aramaic original. You might have read those words and verses many, many times before, but until now you might not have understood the true significance of the phrase which is being interpreted. This alone proves that the preaching of Jesus and his disciples was in Aramaic. Over and over again we find the use of Aramaic words, Aramaic phrases, and Aramaic idioms. We are even told explicitly that the New Testament is being translated or interpreted from an Aramaic original. In fact, entire books have been written on this very subject. The book, The Aramaic Origins of the Fourth Gospel by Charles Burney, for example, demonstrates conclusively that John's Gospel came from an Aramaic original, and if time and space permitted, that same argument could be made for all the other books of the New Testament. With that background then, let us look more closely through the pages of the New Testament. We will find ample evidence that Aramaic was the predominant spoken language at the time. First, we come to the famous words of Jesus on the cross. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The New Testament is at pains to record the exact words spoken by Jesus in his last few dying hours. But although Jesus is clearly quoting from Psalm 22, the Hebrew of Psalm 22 is not exactly being quoted. The Hebrew word for abandon is azav, so the expression in the Hebrew of Psalm 22 is azavtani, But here, Jesus says, sabachthani. That is from the Aramaic verb sabach, which is used over and over again in the Aramaic New Testament. It is a very common Aramaic word meaning to leave, forsake, or abandon. It is approximately equivalent to the Hebrew word azav, although the Aramaic verb does have other nuances of meaning which are not present in the Hebrew. This is clear evidence that on the cross Jesus spoke Aramaic. It should also be noted that the pronunciation of Eli or Eli, meaning my God, is interesting because it varies in different Gospels. In Mark, it is recorded differently as Eloi, Eloi. Why the difference? In Aramaic, my God is Allahi, but as this is being transliterated into Greek, and Greek has no letter for H, there is a problem in how to write or transliterate it into Greek. Dropping the H or aspirate entirely leads to Eli. Trying to represent that the H or aspirate is at least present leads to Eloi. But again, this emphasizes that on the cross, Jesus was certainly speaking Aramaic. The evidence could not be clearer. Let us look at another well-known passage, Mark chapter 5, verse 41. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is, being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Now, Talitha is an extremely common Aramaic word for girl. Over and over again, the Aramaic New Testament uses the Aramaic word for boy, Talia, and girl, Talitha. They are the Aramaic equivalent of the Hebrew Yeled for boy and Yalda for girl. Kumi means arise when addressing a female, and is the same in Hebrew or Aramaic. But again, by using such a common and obvious Aramaic word, it is obvious again that Jesus spoke Aramaic. The Greek New Testament is at pains to point out that Jesus spoke Aramaic. His Aramaic words are literally being transliterated from Aramaic into Greek, so that there can be no doubt. Another example is Mark chapter 7, verse 34. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, which is, be opened. As we demonstrate in the lessons on learning Aramaic for beginners at JesusSpokeAramaic.com, this is either a passive of the Aramaic verb to open, hence the translation be opened, or the afel causative verb, that is, be opened, as an imperative. Note that both of these forms are characteristically Aramaic, the way that passive verbs are conjugated in Hebrew, the nephal, and causative, hefil, is completely different in Aramaic. Let us look at another well-known example, quoting from the King James Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. The word maranatha, short and sweet though it is a fascinating triple wordplay in Aramaic. In Aramaic, and specifically the Syriac dialect of Aramaic, with only slight pauses to break up the words, it can mean either Maranatha, our Lord comes, or our Lord is coming, Maranatha, our Lord will come, or Maranatha, Lord please come. Either way, this incredible single word is characteristically Aramaic. It cannot be Hebrew. It is a beautiful and amazing play on words, and it is easy to see how the word would become popular, being so rich in related meanings. Let us look at other examples of Aramaic phrases in the New Testament, which are definitely Aramaic and cannot be Hebrew. After Judas betrays Jesus, he realizes the enormity of what he has done, and, as the scriptures spoke beforehand, he kills himself. The place where he dies is called Akel Dama, Acts chapter 1, verse 19, and it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper own tongue, Akel Dama, that is to say, the field of blood. This verse says that Akel Dama is the name of the field in their own or proper language, that is, in the language that the people of Jerusalem spoke. As we saw in the previous chapter, this phrase is uniquely Aramaic, not Hebrew nor Greek. Thus, this verse proves that the people of Jerusalem spoke Aramaic, not Hebrew. The debate is settled. End of argument. The scriptures have spoken. To disagree would be to kick against the pricks in Acts 9 verse 5, the pricks being the words of scripture themselves, the goads or nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 11. But if we continue our search in the New Testament, we find many more Aramaic words and expressions. It is as though these words have been left there on purpose to prove, for once and all, that Aramaic is the original language of the New Testament. A further example is the word Raca in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. It is sometimes said that Raca is related to the Hebrew word rek, meaning empty, and there may well be a play on words in both the Hebrew and Aramaic languages, but the form of the word Raca indicates that it is Aramaic. In Aramaic, it is from the verb to spit, meaning that spitting on someone is a sign of contempt, was a practice which could bring you in danger of the judgment. A further example is the word Mammon in the Gospels, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and a mammon. Mammon is an Aramaic loanword which became adopted into medieval Hebrew, and hence into modern Hebrew to mean finance. However, the original Aramaic word meant money or wealth. Thus, you cannot worship and serve both God and money. A further example is the word Rabboni. John chapter 20, verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. While this does sound like the Hebrew word Rabbi, the Hebrew equivalent is Rav, not the English word Rabbi, while the form Rabboni is characteristically Aramaic. Thus, once again, we have an indication in the pages of the New Testament that the original ordinary people spoke Aramaic rather than Hebrew. As well as the Aramaic words throughout the text of the New Testament, which we have just looked at, that Aramaic was the common language of the time is demonstrated by the widespread choice of Aramaic names for people in the New Testament. An obvious example is when Jesus calls Peter Cephas, which is from the Aramaic Kepha, meaning rock or stone. Again, this is an Aramaic word with no Hebrew cognate equivalent. The Hebrew words are either Evan for stone or Tsur for rock. And it is well known that the Aramaic word for son is Bar, as in Bar Mitzvah. The Hebrew equivalent is Ben, as in Ben Zion or Ben Gurion. And so, demonstrating once again that Aramaic was the common language of the people in New Testament times, we have a whole host of people's names which are Aramaic, all starting with Bar, meaning son. Examples are Barabbas, the name of the robber released instead of Jesus. His name, ironically, means the son of the father. Bartholomew, or Bartulmai in Aramaic. Simon Bar-Jonah, for Peter. Bartimaeus, as the blind beggar Bartimaeus. Barnabas, meaning the son of consolation, in Aramaic. Bar-Jesus, the name of the false prophet, a Jew, the sorcerer, in Acts 13, verse 6. Of course, many more examples could have been given, but these should suffice to show that Aramaic was in extensive use, with Aramaic names being very common. As well as the names of people, there are many place names which are clearly Aramaic rather than Greek or Hebrew. Examples include John chapter 19, verse 13. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat him in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew Gabbatha. In this verse, the term Hebrew here refers to the Hebrew Judean dialect of Aramaic, as demonstrated by the form of the word Gabbatha, which is easily identifiable as Aramaic. The ending atha is a very common characteristic ending for feminine nouns in Aramaic. Another example is John chapter 19, verse 17, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which was called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Again, here, we see the common feminine tha ending to the Aramaic word Golgotha. A final example is John chapter 5, verse 2. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. The place name Bethesda is again a classic Aramaic form. Although many more examples could be given, these examples should be sufficient to demonstrate that Aramaic is the authentic cultural context into which the New Testament was given. In the New Testament itself, we therefore have explicit and obvious evidence that Jesus spoke Aramaic, that Aramaic was a language commonly spoken by everyone around Jesus, and that Aramaic was, by their own admission, the native language of the people of Jerusalem. People around Jesus were named in Aramaic, place names were in Aramaic. The Greek New Testament itself often explicitly states that it is translating from Aramaic. Once we get back to the Aramaic origins of the New Testament, we get back to true and authentic biblical roots. We engraft ourselves back into the rootstock of the Holy Scriptures, and we regain our moorings, anchoring our faith directly to the inspired Word of God, rather than being adrift at sea, not knowing who to believe or what to think. Get back to the Aramaic, and we get back to the language in which God chose to reveal His Word in the New Testament. If Hebrew is the holy language, Aramaic is the second holy language. We ignore it at our peril.